Dr. Brastax, hello.
Good morning, David.
Yeah, morning.
How are you doing, man?
I'm well, and you?
I'm pretty good, pretty good. Again, I want to talk about politics of confusion and politics of common sense. But before I get to that, I want to put a little hint to you on sanitation. Now, if tomorrow sanitation workers strike for one day, do you believe this country will be in a chaotic position as far as garbage is concerned?
Well, I think you know the answer to that. One day, I mean, right now we are in trouble because they're not working on weekends. That has contributed to the increase in the problem.
Now, if you strike for one day, you're going to tell me how much confusion it is with the amount of garbage that left back. You'll be hearing human cry that sanitation workers strike and know the country in a chaotic epidemic state. Now, they're home for 2 days. I want to accept that. No, that is one point I want to put to you. And at the other end, I hear people talking about parceling out garbage and separating them. You know those sanitation workers go through hell of a lot. You know a lot of the young people take the Pampers with all sorts of mess and wrap them up and put them in cans. The homes.
But what's your point, though?
The point that I'm telling you, that is a dirty job. Nothing people got to do it, and somebody let them do it. I'm done with that. Now, let me go on to my politics.
Well, if we really believe that, then you would be prepared to pay a private waste hauler to pick up your garbage.
You are determined that all together.
You know, it is an amazing thing that you talk the talk. But you ain't going to walk the walk.
You determined that, because you saw all of you in this together.
We are. So yeah. if you know how important a job it is and how much people should be paid and that sort of thing, why not ease the burden by shifting your focus from the public to the private? Let the private waste hauler pay them every month to come and pick up yours.
To pick up mine?
Yeah.
Then you already add taxes on for my wallet.
Oh, you see there? You see how you try to run away from that?
I run away from that. I bring it back to you. Now, let me talk about politics of confusion. Politics of confusion is to the politicians, and politics of common sense should be to the electorate. And I can tell you why. I heard this morning where the Prime Minister on your radio. I don't switch my radio. I can tell you that. I don't switch my radio. As a VOB born, remain, and still is a VOB person.
People who are associated with the radio stations in that way are just like the diehards associated with the political parties. I know that.
Like you.
Yes. Yeah.
Right, good. All right, let me go on.
Mm-hmm.
Politics of confusion. I said I heard the Prime Minister this morning made mention that she is going to give the squatters land and houses along with money. That this morning I heard on your radio. Day before, I heard on your radio, the Minister of Environment said the building in St. Thomas cannot be completed because they don't have the money. That's the politics of confusion. One got money to remove squatters. The other one got money to repair or finish the building at Waterloo. Now, this is where the question...
Don't forget, she also said that these squatters are on a dump.
And there are health issues associated with it. The important thing is the money.
I thought you were going to add to that.
And the bell, they got squatters on water. Mean, or the water course. Mm-hmm. I want to be happy with them. So let me go on to what I am completing, and again, ask them where common sense is at. When you give a contractor a building to build, at completion, it should not be given to you free of any, malfunctioning of the building.
Yes, but good. I don't know the
I
terms.
I want to know if this building at Waterloo was given to a contractor. And I want to know if this building is so bad, government is a continuum, why the very Minister of Environment do not get in contact with the contractor and make him do the building. Don't come and tell the public that the building is incomplete and you got to lease it. What nonsense you trying to tell this public in today's 2019? Now, I'm going to finish on this question. Who responsible for the Barrett building? The Barrett building belongs to the government or it belongs to Barrett?
It belongs to Barack, as I understand it. The government will be renting
from them. Let me ask you a question.
From them, no.
I want to ask the same minister, why can't you fix that building that in Orange, that in Vault Loose, and remove some of the people you have that you pay rent to Barack and put them in that building?
Well, you need
making the contractor finish the building and stop coming confusing the public. And that's how.
Well, you may be confusing them a bit more too.
Well, let me tell you, as long as I am living and I see these issues coming up, there will be no confusion in this country as long as I got live breath in my body. He got to tell me who is the contractor that finished the building, and if the building is not fit enough for any tenants to go in it, get to the contractor and don't take the taxpayers' money and lease out the building to who you want to lease it to. Thank you, David. I want.
All right, before you go on, I think we need to get a bit more information on how this building was actually constructed. My recollection is that this had more to do with it was what you call a bolt project.
Bolt, God, right. you make it more palatable.
It was a bolt project, and I agree with you that when the minister spoke about the matter, perhaps what was required was a little bit more a background as to how you move from a bolt project to the idea of actually leasing this property because it is now incomplete and it will cost, according to him, it came across as though he was saying that the government, it was going to cost government too much money to complete this particular building. So if it's a bolt project, then explain to me how we move from here to there. And I think there's a lack of clarity in our minds, and that's perhaps what you are really alluding to at the end of the day. So perhaps at some point we will hear more from him on that, because, what would be the implications if it is a bold project, as we were led to believe over the years? This is Down to Brass Tacks. Now, during the course of the week, callers were talking about this squatting at Rock Hall in St. Philip. And in view of the concerns that were raised and the call that we just had, I think it's important that we should hear Prime Minister Mia Motley on that issue when she spoke at yesterday's post-cabinet news conference. Give a listen.
Ironically, Barry, this matter was brought to our attention about 5-6 weeks ago by the Minister of Housing. And as a result, cabinet asked him, and first and foremost, let me say why it was brought. More importantly, or as important as the question of the flight path, is really the public health considerations of the people living in that location at Rock Hall. The majority of persons, I am told, are effectively building and have built their houses on a dump. And I don't need to tell you what would be the public health implications of persons living on a dump. But the Minister of Housing brought it to our attention and indicated that the situation was continuing and that he wanted to be able to intervene, and we gave him the authority to start and update a social survey. You know, I keep talking about the lost decade, and this is one area in which it is most evident. In 2007, as Deputy Prime Minister, I would have chaired a subcommittee of cabinet for a policy paper on unauthorized development in Barbados. You know, I can know the day that I can dead, because this was on the back page yesterday. This issue of Rock Hall.
No, Sunday.
I asked for the documents to be pulled for me this week after it was on the back page on Sunday. And in 2007, we submitted to the then cabinet a comprehensive program to deal with persons who are unauthorized, in unauthorized possession of land, in other words, squatters. And we agreed then, as far back as that, with a comprehensive set of social surveys. That looked at their name, their country of birth, the ID number, the phone number, the lot number, the quest, the gender, the age, the address, the head's economic activity, the monthly income for the household or the family size, the number of children in the household, the period of residence of the house on the spot, the house, whether it was owned by the person or rented, because not everybody is owning their own house in those circumstances, and similarly, what was the position with the land, because in some instances there are bandits who are seeking to collect rent from these people and actually sell people the opportunity to put down land, and this is not recent alone. And then the general commentary. Now the reason why I've asked for this, and I asked for this week, and that's why I know the day and dead, is because in 2007, 12 years ago, there were 96 people at Rock Hall. I am told that the numbers in the last decade have significantly expanded. And far from following up on the policy paper, that nothing was done. Now, what was the policy paper saying? That one, that we needed to be able to relocate these persons. Two, that we needed to ensure that persons do not go back on those sites. And Rock Hall is but one. This is perhaps the worst of the lot in the country in terms of numbers, and the worst of the circumstances, because it's injurious to the residents who live in those houses, because they are living on a dump. It continued and expanded, and I was aware that in spite of their representative or being the member for the Attorney General, that it continued unabated. Now, 12 years ago, we recommended that for persons below the poverty line, persons earning $15,000 or less, that a grant be given to them. Not a full grant, but a grant of $25,000 is what we would be recommending now, which would still require that they use their own labor or that of their families and friends in order to be able to build. And that for anybody above the poverty line, the most the government could do was to provide a loan to facilitate loan facilities, because once you are working, all of the rest of Barbados have to pay to live in their houses. And persons must also pay. For anybody who is below the poverty line, regardless of age, color, gender, status, the government of Barbados is committed to helping them. That is our position. But for anybody over the poverty line, then you have to help pay. Therefore, the government will create a loan fund that will assist in persons being able to borrow, and the government will identify lands for the relocation of these persons. We asked that the social survey be updated because it is significantly more than the 96 persons, I'm told by the Member of Parliament, in their way. And in the circumstances, we need to have that updated social survey, just as I'm able to draw on the one that we had done when I chaired the subcommittee. The Minister of Housing has indicated that they're well in the process of doing that, I think with support from the Ministry of Welfare as well. And in the circumstances, once that is finished, then there will have to be an engagement with the residents, both collectively and individually, to see how they can be relocated. What is clear is that we would be condemning them as residents if we let them stay in that location. It cannot be. One of the reasons why this government has been so adamant about creating planning gains and acquiring additional land as we help others with their own town planning applications is because ultimately we recognize that there is need for a serious intervention with respect to housing lots and housing solutions in this country, not just for those, and Santi will tell you, I've been adamant before the election, and Adrian, that there has to be a reduction in density at the Pine and Wildey housing estates. There has to be a reduction in density at Silver Hill and Gall Hill at Haynesville. Okay? But separate from that, persons, for example, in Barbados who are earning under $4,000 cannot afford to buy no land at $20 to $25 a square foot and then to build a house. And a party that knows what it is to introduce the Tenantries Freehold Purchase Act and to introduce subsidies for urban tenantries will not sit idly by, as we will not, and allow Barbadians to be deprived of the opportunities for housing in circumstances where they are most in need of it. We are also conscious that over the course of the last decade, with a lot of people not working, with the continuous and prolonged recession, that a lot of shanties developed in people's yards, and I see members of the press nodding their heads because they know exactly what I'm speaking about. And people who may not have access to water or to other things. Cabinet also today agreed, and Minister Abrams will address it, I assume, next week or week after, but that there must be a minimum basic human right of allowing everybody access to water in this country, subject obviously to the appropriate deposit. And he will explain that to the public in due course. But the bottom line is, the squatting, the unauthorized occupation of lands at Rock Hall, St. Philip, is first and foremost not in the interests of the residents who are living there. It's not the rest of us who are living there, it's the residents who are living there who are first and foremost affected by living on that site. As a government, we know better. We knew better from then, and in the past, over the course of opposition, we would have made calls about it. We are now in a position to do something about it and shall do something about it. But we have to have the updated social survey in the way that, in this instance, in 2007, we were able to see that of the 96 people there, how many were under $15,000, how many were between 15 and 25, how many earned over 25,000 as a household. And equally as important, and I want to address this, because there's a notion that the majority of people squatting are non-Barbadian. It's not true. In truth and in fact, less than 20% at that time of the persons squatting would have been non-Barbadian. The majority are by far Barbadian. And it says to us, therefore, that we have a duty to treat to this fully and frontally, and the government shall do so. There's a moral hazard, of course, and we will be working with town planning and other agencies to ensure that we don't create circumstances, but there would be such a flood of access to lots, to rent, to own, to purchase at affordable rates, that nobody will feel that they should want to go and build and to live in uncertain circumstances where their property may become the victim of demolition because of not having the requisite permission. Okay?
Okay, so that was Prime Minister Motley speaking last evening at the post-cabinet news conference. We thought that it was important for you to get that information because of the kind of discussion that we've heard on this matter of the squatters at Rock Hall in St. Philip, Of course, the squatting problem is not peculiar to Rock Hall in St. Philip. There are several other parts of Barbados where this situation obtains, and therefore you have the background to the idea of finding land and setting up a fund to assist such people. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Now, David.
Yes, sir.
I listened to the Prime Minister, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I must tell you that even though I agree with her concerning the amount of time that this thing has been going on, and especially on the last Democratic Party administration, in the constituency of the former Attorney General, and she said that they have no intentions to let it continue. No problem whatsoever. But my problem is this, David. When you can get people to flout the laws of the land of this country and go and set up illegal structures on a dump, and now you're going to give them grants and loans when National Housing Corporation is flooded.
But you have also to take into consideration the fact that they are living on a dump, and that
exactly.
There are health considerations that you need to look at
I know that.
This matter as well.
I know that.
But I will also say this to you. If you have agencies that are set up to regulate practices in this country, people recognize that they can engage in those practices, but the agencies do not do their jobs well enough. How then do you end up blaming only one side for the problem?
Well, I spoke to all that with Peter Wickham on Tuesday, no, David. I blame the agencies, Town Country Planning, the Ministry of Health, and another ministry that responsible, I don't remember another ministry, is Town Country Planning Health. Oh, yeah, I mentioned the immigration as well. And
Immigration. You see, the Prime Minister said that it is a mistake to believe that the majority of the people were non-Bajan.
Whether there's non-Bajans or not.
According to her, only 20%. So that meant at the time, 80% Bajan.
Okay.
So, this is part of the problem in national discourse, especially in a program like Brass Tacks, where people come and air their mouths without the facts. And that's part of the reason why we have to give you information. And I'm very cautious sometimes in coming to a conclusion once I don't have all the information.
Right, but because I can remember somebody said, I think somebody mentioned it's 70% or so. I think the mention story is just 100 buildings that are occupying the lot.
Come here and say all sorts of stuff without anything to support it.
Yeah, I remember hearing that as well. So you're perfectly right. But still, David, I am concerned. I mean, I think it's more so reasonable. I mean, we have law-abiding citizens.
How would you fix the problem?
David, I asked the question to Peter, and I will ask you again.
No.
Where were these people before the...
How would you fix the problem?
David, I would just go and bulldoze every...
And do what with them? Just leave them out there in the rain?
They will go back where they come from.
And where is that?
I don't know. There had to be some place before when I occupied the people that are the
Well, the problem is that you're not a politician, and you're not a person in that kind of decision-making position where the consequences of your action would have to be seriously assessed. Because you can do one thing, but there's cause and effect. So once you move in that direction, What are the consequences? What is going to happen as a result of that?
David, let me tell you something. You know, before I moved here, this is my present location. I had an application in National Housing, since 78, for a house spot. And up to now, I haven't received one.
You know that if somebody made an error and came and said, you know, contrary to what you believe, an error was made and you really shouldn't be in your house, where would you go? No.
Say that again to me. I missed
you. Lick down the place and send them where they came from. If somebody made an error and came to you and said, there was a mistake in your getting this house in the first place, you go back where you came from. Where would you go?
Where we go? I find some place to go. Still not a mistake.
But you know, the truth of the matter is that it may be easy for you, but it is not that easy for the state to just come and knock down everything and say to people, go find a place. That's why the Prime Minister says we're going to have to find a place for you.
But then what I really call you about, you know, because I was looking for you since Monday.
Yeah.
But let me say to you, I do not believe in squatting. And I mentioned this before I go to my other point.
Mm-hmm.
The same way this is going to happen to the people now in Rock Hall. I believe then government should go down 6 men and compensate the landowners and that property that the squatters down there occupy now. Because the owners can't even get back possessing their own land.
You know, you know what Barbados really needs in all of this? You need to get a comprehensive picture of how big a problem Barbados faces with respect to squatting. Where are the pockets across Barbados where people have been squatting on government land? And what are the areas that have been in dispute? Areas where the land has been in private hands and people have gone to court, some of them for years, and can't get any action on the issue. People die, and the land that has been in dispute has not been addressed because of the length of time that this court system takes to deal with issues. A lot of people hurt because of squatting.
Okay, let me just mention this before I go to my main point. Because, as I said, it was weird on you saying smarter, but I can't, you weren't there. Now, I will tell you first, before I go to that point, I suspect it's something more this garbage collection than we are seeing. I'll tell you why, David. I remember during the Democrat Labour Party time, we had piles and piles of garbage lined up all across Barbados. It was on site, this Barbados, I should say. Garbage here, there, and everywhere. The Democrat Labour Party went out of office. The Barbados Labour Party came in to get a couple of trucks. And I can tell you there was a mass reduction in the garbage pile up. Like we were saying, there's a stark improvement. We were seeing that amount of garbage. And I discovered St. Scrub over. This thing raised its head once again. And I believe this is one way of forcing government hand to getting the sanitation workers over time to get this mess cleaned up. I believe that is my personal belief. I believe that is the reason why we're seeing this pile up of garbage again. Because, as I said, when the new trucks came, we saw a great improvement. And all of a sudden, this thing just come up again. Not here, but over time, my public.
I've been sitting here fielding calls and questions about the sanitation service situation for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And while you might have seen an improvement in your neighborhood, there were other people who were not reflecting that. Because we've never had enough trucks in the period to satisfy the demand.
I can remember people seeing a great improvement. I mean, it wasn't the best, but something completely different than we're seeing now. This reminds me of when the Democrat Labour had the problems with the garbage pile. Now, let me go to my point where it was really calling about. Now, Monday morning, you carried in that strap. Okay? With your surgical hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you had an economist. David, to be honest with you, when I heard that guy, I lost all hope in this country. Because I said, well, this is Barbados. I can't believe that we're in such a state. You remember the extract that you carry?
I remember. The economist is Carlos Ford.
He'd be paying a negative outlook of the Barbados economy.
Basically said that even though some progress has been made, the country is definitely not out of the woods yet, and it is absolutely essential that we speed up the whole concept of foreign direct investment, because Barbados needs about $1 billion in investment, I think it is, $500 million U.S. every year to be able to see the kind of growth that is required. Now, one of the issues that you face, Tallboy, is this. I think it was recognized even when the former Prime Minister of Ireland and his former Finance Minister addressed the social partnership some months ago. When you are in an IMF program, it dampens demand. But the government then has to be looking for at each sector to see how it can stimulate each sector. Mm-hmm. And if that does not happen, then what happens is that the economy contracts too much. Because as you know, you've heard it said time and time again, if you pull too much money out of circulation in this economy, it doesn't work well. This has been preached to us for so many years. The first person who I thought did an excellent job in articulating it is the late Wendell McLean. You know, and you've heard other people, Wayne Arthur has said it, you know, the economists tell you, if you pull too much money out, then the economy suffers. You right. need to have economic activity.
Right, but Devin, simply because it was carried on radio, I can really had enough time to really digest everything. But I read the article, the same Sander with Winston Cox, the economist Winston Cox.
Yes.
And he paint a completely different picture than what we're seeing coming from your extract on Monday morning.
And what did he say?
He said that the confidence, especially among the policyholders, is a strong indication that the Barbados economy was moving in the right direction.
Which policyholders?
I don't know which policyholders you're referring to. But he said the public confidence, especially among the policymakers. Right.
Yeah, but I think that there's a plus and there's a minus in all of this, and you can see both sides of it. Yes, there has been some resurgence of confidence. I mean, if you listen to the survey which has recently been done, the consumer confidence survey, which was done by the Dr. Devanish from the University of the West Indies, it affirms that there has been that restoration of a greater sense of confidence. But in the midst of all of that, there remains pessimism nonetheless. But so you still have both sides of the coin.
But because Mr. Cox also said that he wouldn't be caught off guard if the Barbados economy grew by 1% or less in the coming year.
Well, you wait and see.
You know, and this guy, I mean, he was so... You know who reminded me of, David?
Right.
Your caller who always come on your program and tell you about just a few little things. You know, the guy that spoke to you about three callers before?
No, I think I understood what he said. I didn't think that it was... I thought it was a balanced assessment.
Not me. I know they ever believe in balance, but I thought you should have bring some Cox's report as well. And bring the balance to me.
All
then.
Right. Well, so be
thank
it.
You, thank you, David.
Thank you. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello. You're on the air?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, morning.
How are you this morning, Ms. Ellis?
I'm okay, and you?
Okay, I just wondered. I only want to deal with the issue of sanitation this morning because I am one of the people who believe, as you would have said a while ago, that we as Barbadians now have to look at this situation, that all of us are in it together, and we should bring or look for solutions and resolution to get us from where we are at present, get us out of it. I believe that looking at the present state of sanitation and where it is going with this overtime and so on, I believe that what should be done now is that let us look and get away from the overtime, looking at overtime and that sort of argument, and looking at getting the country clean. And I will say and I will recommend this for this morning, I will hope that the people that sitting down looking at it will look at it in bringing a system into play where you can probably have the two systems working within the day and where the workers would be able to say you work 5 out of 7, if you work 2 hours, two days in each week, you have a rotation. But when it comes to the public holidays, according to how they fall within the regulations climate, that you either receive your double or triple time pay given the type of holiday that you have. Because we cannot sit down now, it is day off on Saturdays and Sundays, and by Mondays, the pilot comes back to where it is. let us look at a situation where we can come up with a solution where they will work every day. Overtime will not be a problem because you can have two shift systems working today. I am not prepared to say whether it would be 74, 40, 11 or what, but you can work it out that you can have these two shifts working during the day around the clock, but on bank holidays, when the time comes, given the kind of holiday that it is, that they be paid either the triple time or so. We have to find a mechanism for this. I don't believe that we should be going in and people arguing about overtime for Saturday and Sunday and so on, because we've got to look at it. We have to work, we have to clean the country every day. We have to do things every day. We have to look in it that this is our country. We have to keep it in focus. We want people to come to it. We have to try and keep it clean. And sanitation is the main component of keeping the country clean.
All right, sir. Thank you very much.